and welcome to the podcast Fully Expressed with John Dembeck. This is where we discuss how Christian professionals can approach work as an act of worship.
Hey guys, John, welcome to Fully Expressed. I'm so excited to bring you today's interview with Heath Hill, which just to introduce him in just a second. But I want to take a moment on this podcast, kind of introduce to you that we're changing the name of the ministry of Seeds to Life to Work and Faith Matters. Kind of an important change for us. You know, matters is both meaning and importance and subject material. And the mission statement for the ministry is Work and Faith Matters, motivating, inspiring Christian professionals become the best version of themselves for their good and God's glory. So it's kind of that blending of work and faith. And I'm just excited to unpack that over the next coming weeks and months. But in particularly in this podcast, you're going to hear about the man who has said that the work and faith are, they're tied together. They're indistinguishable from each other. And he's the message in the interview we have is that he desires that small businesses would be the church, that they would actually be involved in their communities and making a difference. And you're going to hear how he has stepped up to that and what God has done because of that. So without further ado, I want to introduce to you Heath Hill as we make our way into this interview. Hey guys, I am just so excited to welcome to the podcast Heath Hill, who is the president of Lime Media in Rockwall, Texas. And Heath has been married for 22 years, has three kids, and he stewards a marketing company. And I've just been impressed by my conversations with him that he's a man of faith. He's letting the Lord work through him and in his life and in his business. And I'm excited to introduce you to him and have you get to know him a little bit. So welcome, Heath, to Fully Expressed.
It's good to be here, John. I appreciate the opportunity.
I could hardly wait to get into the questions. You know, we just had a good time visiting before this and getting to know you a little bit. But today you run what most would call, or at least I would, a very successful company, and which we're going to discuss in just a little bit, but it wasn't always that way. And I think what I really enjoyed is just hearing that to where you were and where you've come to. And in fact, you were at a breaking point of sorts. Can you just tell our audience a little bit about that?
Sure. Breaking point would probably be putting it mildly. We had always just had fortune to be an entrepreneur and make money and employ people, and never really had a challenge that we couldn't work through. This was a unique opportunity. I had sold a business. I was doing real estate and decided to invest in this opportunity, and, you know, really had no idea what I was getting into. It was a $50,000 investment, seemed pretty small at the time. That 50 came and went, and I started dropping $100,000 bills in there. Really still no light at the end of the tunnel. Got about $500,000 into it, and there really was no plan B at that point. I had kind of stopped actively working real estate, and I was doing this full time, and by full time, you know, 6.5 days a week, 12 to 16 hour days, and just really trying to catch a gear, and you know, was running out of time and money. That is really a crisis that several entrepreneurs can relate to, especially with COVID. But that really was the crutch of the crisis. I didn't have a good plan. I was running out of time and I was running out of money.
So just hitting the backing up there for a second. So you're doing real estate and successful in real estate. And was it something within you, Heath? And I know we're going to unpack this a little bit more, but is there something within you that said, I want to get into this company venture? Did you see something? Did you hear something? Did you feel drawn to it? I mean, what was it that said, you know, this is where I ought to put my foot into? And what was stirring within you at that time?
So great question. You know, I loved real estate. It was something that I still do today, and it wasn't a 50-hour a week deal. So I was kind of looking for that next aha idea that I could really sink into, grow. And I think that's what was attractive. It was just the timing of it all. I love the performa. I love the idea. Little did I know that that performa was a lie from the devil and was never going to go anywhere. But I, again, didn't know that at the time. Really felt all the signs were there, you know, and really, I'd love to say I missed it. I don't think that is the plan, because God, you know, obviously redeemed it and restored it once I kind of sought him out on it all. Probably should have done that a little more diligently on the front side in hindsight.
So, yeah, not to put words in your mouth, but you had this desire, you had this ambition, you were drawn to this marketing company. But yet it just was, according to your, at the time, you were assuming your own desires. Now, God was going to work all that out, but it was kind of like you're stepping into that with your own desires, and he wasn't allowing you to succeed as you kind of stepped into that. Quite the opposite. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, back then I was would call myself a Christian like most. You know, I believed in God. I by all intensive purposes, I was a Christian. I think the biggest difference is I don't know that I would say I was a follower of Christ, or what I like to term it so it doesn't get confused, recklessly obedient. That had never come up, didn't exist, didn't know anybody like that, just really, was just kind of a non-issue in my life. Later, through the business, I had an encounter, you know, with the living God, and such a way I could just never go back to being a normal Christian. Just wasn't ever going to happen.
Yeah. Or I guess there's not good and bad Christians, are strong and weak. Right. And so, and God's certainly done a work in your life. So you're there, you are, the money is draining. You're exhausted. You're at a low point in your life personally, professionally, spiritually. And then you describe, and I really want you to kind of to talk to our audience about it. You describe that there was an event, right? There was something that happened. Yours was, I guess you would say, it was more of a vision. Can you kind of just describe, you know, you're at this point, you're not expecting anything really, and then you get this vision that that comes from the Lord. Just tell our audience a little bit about that.
Yeah, you know, all of us have made a deal with God at some point. Sometimes they work out, sometimes they don't. But I would just challenge you to go back and think about that deal you tried to make with God. Well, this was no different than me. I'd hit a point where I was out of time, I was out of money, and honestly, I didn't even have a plan on next steps or what to do or where to go. So I was out by my pool crying out to God, literally, not figuratively. It was about midnight. I was laying down on a kind of a chair and just completely just broken. You know, half the time I was asking myself how I ever got here. The other half I was, you know, yelling out to God, where are you? Help me. And I had one raindrop fall from the sky and just covered my entire face, which then kind of threw me up out of the chair. And when that happened, I saw one of our lime trucks that had shared advertising on it that kind of scrolled and rolled. It looked like a McDonald's truck. It had Ronald McDonald driving it. It had a big Happy Meal arch on the top. It looked like a giant Happy Meal box. It had the Cars, the movie, in it. And the truck was no longer Lime. It was no longer a local mom and pop brand, but it was a national brand. It was McDonald's, very recognizable. And this is in 3D with my eyes open. I'm not seeing this in my head or in my spirit or however you want to word it. This is a physical truck on my pool, and I am losing my mind because I know I'm seeing it, but I don't know what to call it, and I don't know what it means. So I was like any normal person completely freaked out, didn't know what to do, didn't know what it meant, wasn't about to tell my wife, which she was already asleep. So just decided to go to bed and reprocess in the morning what I had seen that night.
Did you have a, you know, you said you didn't know what to make out, you're freaking out. Did you have a sense at that time that it was from the Lord? Did you have do you think that again, you're kind of losing it? Or, I mean, what was your sense of things as you went to bed?
Yeah, definitely losing it. Not a sense that it was from God. I think just losing it, really just questioning that I saw it. And really no context clues or no concept of even what to do with it at any level.
Yeah. And so what changed? I mean, was there a change in you at that time? Or is there a change in your focus, your ideas, your direction? I mean, you go to bed, you wake up the next day and it's not business as usual, right? It's kind of,
I tell you that, you know, I love when the Bible talks about how God confirms things, because honestly, I would have never had the intelligence to process through it. I'd love to take credit and tell you how strategic or smart I was, but God knew that if he got my attention, that I would drop it all and follow him. So he manifested again, is the best way I can explain it, with my wife that night. She wasn't actively involved in the business, but she was a massive encourager, supporter, you know, constantly giving me words of encouragement and notes and songs and so many different things throughout that 2-year journey. But she woke up that morning emotional, hysterical, trying to tell me what she had seen in a dream, telling me it was from God. And I've known her since sixth grade, and she's never put the words dream and God together in the same sentence. So for you charismatics out there, that might be normal, but I grew up Baptist, and nothing about this was normal. So she began to try to explain it, and I was like, calm down, slow down. What are you saying? And she's like, I saw your truck. It was McDonald's. You were giving away coffee. I saw Ronald. I saw build out and extensions, and you were all over the country. And about the time I could receive what she was saying, everything that I experienced and saw the night before began to really tie together that what is happening, that the creator of the universe is trying to tell me something. He's trying to show me something. So I began to tell her what I saw. And of course, you know, when you're broke and out of time and something in the supernatural is happening in the natural, you just, you know, cry and kind of snot all over each other. That's what happens. So I tell her I'm going to go to the park. I'm going to get in the word. I'm going to seek God. Honestly, other than accepting salvation, probably the second time I'd ever really pursued God at any kind of aggressive level. So go to the park, spend an hour, honestly, get very little to nothing out of the hour. You know, just hadn't spent a lot of time with God, hadn't spent a lot of time being quiet, hadn't spent a lot of time in the word, you know, really didn't have the tools or any kind of mechanics to really even hear from his spirit. But I did get one thing, and I knew it wasn't me because I thought it was a horrible idea. But this was kind of the first step in just reckless obedience. Just that the spirit had spoke to me that I need to refund the 4 or 5 clients on the existing fleet of trucks. We had 4 trucks, refund their money, which I thought was a terrible idea, and just be still and wait. Okay. So that was kind of what I took from that hour I spent. So I came into the office, told my office manager, hey, refund everybody's money. Tell me how much money we got left in the account. And it wasn't a lot of money back then. We had never done even a $10,000 deal. So It was a couple thousand here, a couple thousand there. So she did that. She gave me a little memo that somebody had called a group called Maroc. I'd never heard of them. Began to, back then, I think it was AOL. Got on AOL, started looking up, you know, who Maroc was. And the first thing all over their webpage was McDonald's. It was everywhere. Well, apparently that, you know, tied the whole loop together. And I called the guy. He's now the CEO. Back then, he was an account guy named Matt Powell. And I'll never forget it. And he said, yeah, we found you. You know, we're wanting to look at some of these trucks. Can you come in and show us your capabilities? And said, absolutely. And, you know, when would you like me to come in? And I think we were on a Tuesday. He set the meeting for Thursday. So I run up to the high school, take $20, find the art director, get some kid that knows how to work in Photoshop to kind of mock up what I had seen and my wife had seen to the best of our ability. And that's really all I showed up at that meeting with. I didn't really have a case study. I didn't have KPIs or CPMs or anything that even remotely showed that I even kind of knew what I was doing or talking about. So I end up going to the meeting, and 30 minutes later, absolutely nothing happened. I'm walking out of the meeting, disappointed, confused, questioning God. At about the time, somebody tapped on my shoulder and said, hey, Heath, same guy, Matt Powell, said, Dallas Morning News is about to become DallasNews.com. And Gina Roach, she's in Carrollton. She needs you to come to her house right now. They need this exact truck you have. And the campaign starts in a couple days and she wants to give it all to you. Can you do it? So as you can imagine, I was going about 95 miles an hour over to Gina's house. 2 hours later, crying, hugging, telling me that she would mentor me and coach me. She gave seems like it was yesterday. It was about 13, 14 years ago, but gave me my first six-figure deal.
Wow.
And said, I want to own the truck. I want to control the truck. I want you to drive it. I want you to do a little build out. I want you to do some staff. And she kind of put this whole plan together. And I knew with confidence we could do it. That at that moment in time, it all came together. I knew exactly what our new business model was. I knew exactly what I was supposed to do and how to do it. And she set me a meeting 2 weeks later for one of her friends. It was a CMO of a home builder. She did a six-figure deal. She set me up with her agency with another client. They did a six-figure deal. These deals began to roll in every couple weeks. We couldn't lose, but we had a massive hole to dig out of. And about 3 months later, McDonald's called and did their first six-figure deal with us. And to date, we're the largest sampling company for McDonald's in the country. Pre-COVID, we were running, I think, 7 to 8 trucks for them all over the U.S., serving coffee and doing build-outs and smoothies. And I served more smoothies than any store in the country. If you were to add up all of our trucks, because we sample 5 and 10,000 of them in a day. Yeah. So as you can see, God definitely used some radical measures to get my attention. And from that moment on, I really bought into this reckless obedience philosophy, begin to study his word, begin to spend time with him, begin to learn who he is, what he says we can do, what he says he does, and just begin to forge an intimate relationship really with him, his spirit, and Jesus.
Wow. Hey, so for those of us who aren't entirely familiar with the what those trucks are, could you just give us a brief description of, you know, what it is that they, what they are and what they do?
Sure. So kind of visualize a box truck that were painted lime. And then they had a billboard in the sides and the back, and it actually rotated up and down for about 7 seconds. Before we got digital boards, you might have seen what they call Tri-Vision, which you would see a truck that had an ad, and then it would flip in 8 seconds and have another ad, and it'd flip in 8 seconds and have another ad. So okay. We took that whole idea, threw it in the trash, and then just used that truck, and it had glass on all three sides. So we began to, you know, create scenes in the back for IKEA or for home builders, or we could put up ads and then we could send people in the back of them. So we began to figure out how to use them in a unique, different way than how they were sold to us.
Okay. And then you're doing sampling out of those too? Is that what you're...
Yeah, yeah. Now we have food trucks and buses and containers and 100 other fun assets. But back then, it's all we had. So we would have people come in the back, get a coffee, or we would have a little sampling kiosk stand, make the coffee in the back or the smoothies or the lattes or whatever they wanted. And then we would serve them out on the ground out of the truck.
Yeah. I just listening between the lines, I guess, and listening to your brokenness and your crying out to God, and God meets you with a vision, and not necessarily an idea, but it's a vision of something that you hadn't even thought of. Right. And then he causes it to come to pass. What, and when you look back at that, and I know that we can't know for sure, but why would you say that it was a vision that it took a vision to have you begin to change?
Fair question. A lot of people, you know, ask the question, why you? I mean, this is kind of like a road to Damascus experience, not once, but three times, because all three of those things came together again, within a 12-hour window. You know, I have no idea. I'd love to give you some spiritual theology. All I can try to explain or try to tell you as I look back is that once that happened, to say I was sold out would be an understatement. Now, it's arguable that anybody that had that experience would get sold out. And I agree with that. That's why I'm a big fan of less faith, more encounters and more experiences. Because I've never met somebody who encountered or had an experience with God that wasn't forever changed. You can have all the theology and all the Bible studies you want, but one encounter with the living God, and it'll change you forever. I spent the next decade sharing that story, honoring him with everything I touched, everything I did, any opportunity I got, no matter what the cost, what it took, I would, you know, share my story and really just testify of who he is and shake people out of just their normal, you know, day-to-day spiritual life, that he wants to have this relationship with us at a whole nother level. And this is one of 1,000 stories since then that he's done. You know, every year he shows up in some supernatural, miraculous way that I can't even explain. And, you know, I think a lot of it is that, you know, I give him all three, time, talent, and my treasure, recklessly. I don't buy into the 10% foolishness. You know, it's a great place to start, but as entrepreneurs and business owners, I would challenge anybody to take that to a whole nother level, and which that's a whole nother segment. But I think it's just the fact that, you know, when I gave him my life really for the second time, I've just never looked back, and just live every day for him, and just looking for the next time I get to experience him and be his hands and feet.
Yeah. You know, we just listening to your story, it sounds like that Moses type experience, right? And where, you know, Moses has this vision of the burning bush that's not consumed. And in a sense, that vision was your burning bush experience. And you know, and the Lord lets you know you're on holy ground, that your business is on holy ground, and that he was going to use that. And so when I first asked you, when we first had a conversation, I asked you, I said, well, this is going to be, you know, an interview about work and faith. And you responded to me, for you, they're one and the same, that there's not a distinction between your work and your faith. Can you explain a little bit about what you meant by that?
Sure. I think growing up, there was work Heath, you know, home and family Heath. And then when I was with my boys or my buddies, Heath. And what I realized is that God just detests that. He doesn't understand it. He doesn't like it. He doesn't get it. He doesn't appreciate it. And we cause ourselves a lot of pain and problems living that double or triple life. And when I got all that in alignment, meaning I talk the same way at church as I do in my business, as I do in my home, as I do when nobody else is watching, my whole world began to change, you know, and that's why my giving has, it comes out of my business, because that's the first fruit. That's the first place. And we tithe, we give, we don't even call it a tithe, honestly, out of our gross revenue, because I've learned just some little secrets that, you know, wherever my money goes, my heart goes. And you know, all these are in the Bible. We just don't apply them to anything in our life. It's just like, almost like it's not real world enough for us. And, you know, when God started dealing with big sin in my life, that was really easy to eliminate, really quick to get rid of, and lust and alcohol and the love of money and all these things, all that had to be dealt with. You know, but then he quickly moved into just empathy and kindness and doing the right thing, no matter what the revenue numbers tell you, and really just being light, you know, in a pretty dark world. In my business, we deal with ad agencies, which most of them aren't Christian, if any. And so I might be the only exposure to light that they ever see. And so they've got to have the best of me. And you know, we're typically, we save the best of us for Sunday at church. And what I've realized is I want my boys to see, you know, the best of me on a Tuesday night or a Friday night, or when I'm with my buddies and they walk in. I just want no distinguishing facts of just who I am at my core.
So what's that? So the work and faith are combined, and your business is prospering, and God is strengthening you, and he's moving in you, and he's drawing you close through the relationship that this, you know, Blackaby calls this love relationship he has with us. It's enveloping your whole life. But you also run a business, and what are some of the, and some people may have that same sense as you do, and some may not. What are some of the principles or values that are part of your business that you bring into the business?
Sure. So, and obviously this is a journey. None of this happened in a month or 3 months or a year. This has taken years. You know, I'd never even heard of culture in a business, and we've started working on that over the last 2 to 3 years, which has really allowed my faith to really explode through the whole organization. Because you don't have to be a follower of Jesus to work here, but you do have to operate in his principles. You do have to operate in the golden rule. You do have to put our reputation over our revenue. You know, they begin to less religion, less preaching, and more just walking it out. Obviously our staff is fully aware of that. They're a big part of, you know, the amount of money that we give away as an organization. And we really try to, you know, let them know that that's not a Heath thing or a me thing, but it's just kind of the right thing to do. And that because they work hard and with tenacity and with some intelligence, that we're able to give a bunch of money away. And we really take an Acts 1:8 model to that giving, local, national, international, and then utter ends of the earth. And then we use the other half of our giving to really come in and take groups that could really solve a problem, but they need some operational help or technology help, or they need some funding to get some people on full time. So we've been able to communicate that across the board. So that's kind of high level. What I would challenge you guys to do today on next steps would be, you know, stop cussing. That's like step one. You do that, you'll start sticking out and standing out, because unless you work at a church, there's that kind of language going on everywhere. And obviously I don't need to tell you that that doesn't line up with who God is. So that would be the first step. The second step is put any kind of darkness in light. Some of you, if you're like me, you need to confess to your leadership team that you've been doing things the wrong way and it's time to change it, that you're going to start seeking God and asking him for wisdom and revelation and, you know, be slow to speak, and that you're going to begin to pray in your building. And then you're going to begin to start your leadership meetings out with a real simple prayer of just asking God to come in and provide wisdom and unity. And again, in that prayer, you're going to go ahead and confess that you've not been living this way, but this is the way you want to live. And as you begin to proclaim that and put that out to your team and just kind of in the universe, your actions will begin to align with what you speak. It's just a principle. And so those are really, you know, two to three things that you could start this afternoon. And with that level of boldness, I believe the Holy Spirit in you will begin to rise up and will begin to show you things that you need to start dealing with. Some of you are going to need to take a day to go right wrongs within your organization. You've treated people wrong, or you've said things that weren't, you know, honoring, or you've done some things. And again, I've been guilty of all of that. And so the Holy Spirit began to just show me how to go deal with that. So I wasn't viewed as this just backsliding, hypocritical leader, because again, this takes time. And, you know, if we're willing to right wrongs, people are very, very forgiving as a whole.
So Heath, you made these radical changes in your own life, and God starts to bless your business, and you know, in unexpected supernatural ways. Can you just give us a little bit of that idea of what starts to happen in your business? You started honoring the Lord, you had the vision, you returned the money to those folks, and the business starts coming in. And so, what happens? What's the you know, what kind of things does the Lord start doing in your business?
Well, I'll tell you, in all this journey, you know, to do something different, to have something different come to you, you've got to do something different. So I began to go to different Bible studies, different churches, different missionaries, and I began to get a lot of prophetic words or words of knowledge, which some of you have never heard of that. It's all through the Bible. I ended up finding it long after I experienced it, but I began to get challenged that, you know, I had a homeless lady, ironically enough, tell me that God sees you giving $20. This is how specific this is, to different ministries, and you're about to do $200, but he wants you to believe him for $2,000 a ministry. I thought the lady was on crack. Honestly, she might have been. Didn't even know how to process it. How did she know I was giving away $20 to each of these ministries, just in good faith, just to get it started? Back then, we had such a hole to dig out of. So I was just doing it in obedience, still living off savings, not really taking a paycheck. Well, 2 weeks later, we caught a gear. All those receivables came in, and we instantly went to $200. In less than a year, we caught another gear and began to do $2,000. When that happened, I would get reminded of that lady that spoke that over me. And, you know, it from there, we went to a different giving model. And again, God used somebody else to kind of speak that into me. So that's kind of how we got set up, just in what I would call the train of obedience. Now, what I've seen God do, you know, his economy is not our economy. I am not a prosperity message person. I don't, I'm not a big fan of send us $50 and we'll pray for you type messaging. But I will tell you that a lot of those pastors have taken scripture and just tweaked it a little bit. So it doesn't make the scripture any less valuable. So let me spin it a little different way. You will reap what you sow. You know, when you take care of widows and orphans, God will take care of you. When Malachi, when he says, test me in this, you know, and see that I won't just provide exceedingly abundantly more than you can handle. Anytime God has asked me to finance something, he's always, always, always given me a 10x return on my investment. Always. A few practical examples of that are, I really felt like God was telling me to buy a van for this inner city ministry so they could pull their landscaping trailer. And then they were also cleaning houses. And, you know, back then that van was going to cost me $20,000. And I really felt like, you know, that 20 could turn into about $200,000 of revenue every year. So I love that model. I did that on Friday morning, which was Easter. I ended up sending an email to the pastor that we were going to do that. And I would wire him the money Monday and they could go do that. That Friday afternoon, I got an email from an agency with Cricket Wireless that was talking about doing 10 trucks, but it never went anywhere. And sent me an email saying, hey, we ended up adding the market last minute. So now we're doing 11 trucks instead of 10. Send me the contract this afternoon. We'll get it signed same day and deposits will be to you on Monday. Now, could have been coincidence, could have been just good favor, but I really look at that as God just saying, man, you were so obedient before you even had, you know, a crop that I'm going to give you those 10 trucks plus one. So not only does it not cost you any money to take care of them, but you're even going to make additional money that you can do some different things with. And he began to do that over and over. This year in COVID, we were $3.5 million short on our budgeted numbers. I had tried to sell everybody and anybody I could. I went to our leadership meeting that morning on a Tuesday. I said, we're going to pray. We're not going to meet today. Spent about 3 or 4 minutes just thanking God for who he is, thanking him for how he always provides, that he knows our needs before we do. And I just said, Lord, I'm just asking you for a $3.5 million deal because you can and because it's what we need. No idea who it would come from or where it would come from. And that afternoon, got a call from an agency. They needed a last minute deal for Twitch, which is a gaming app. And by the end of the day, we had an estimate signed off for $3.5 million.
Wow.
Again, not logical, not practical, wouldn't encourage you to build a business model this way because it's just that obscenely random. But he's just never not met us where we are. And our plan is to give $1 million away by 2023. That's not because I'm a great businessman. That's not because I'm some philanthropist or some big giver. It's because God told us that's what we're supposed to do. And we're building our business to do it. And every year we give a couple $100,000 more than we did the year before. And it's just walking it out in faith because I believe that the provision is there, that people and priests and pastors, man, they need help, they need resources, they need some strategy. And if businesses would stand up and rise up, that he would begin to equip small business owners to basically be the church. You know, the church is pretty paralyzed. They've been paralyzed. COVID sure didn't help any of that. And so it's time for small business to use their influence and resources to really start solving problems.
Wow, that's so, there's so much in what you just said. Heath, how would you respond to somebody that says, well, I mean, that's the wrong motivation. If I'm just giving to get, then my heart's wrong. I mean, how would you respond to that?
Sure. Well, I give about three times what I take. So when I talk about us getting things, I'm not using that revenue to go buy myself a bigger yacht or a fancier truck. And honestly, it's hard for me to know if it's my desires anymore or if it's God's. I feel like they're so intertwined and so connected that sometimes I'm asking God, and I think at that same time he's asking me what I want to do, because I know his principles. I know, I don't need to pray about helping the poor. It's commanded. I don't need to pray about if little kids should have clean water in third world countries. That's obvious. I don't need to pray about, helping the homeless. He tells us to take care of the poor. So a lot of these things are just so black and white. What I really seek God on is strategy, and really trying to, God, how can I grow my business so we can give more? And 2 weeks ago, he planted this thing that at some point, if I'll start believing him to give $1 million away a month, he'll show me how to do it. That is so beyond my comprehension. That is so beyond anything that I can even believe him for right now. It's hard enough to get my mind around this concept of giving $1 million away a year. And when we do that, I'm sharing these numbers with you guys to get your mind around it, but everything's anonymous. Our name is nowhere. I want zero recognition this side of heaven. I tell everybody I want to be known two places, and that's heaven and hell. Because I am living and running so hard and so fast to make impact in the few years that I have here on earth. And none of that comes with glory. Because remember, I already confessed I ran my business into the ground. And honestly, from here on out, I'm on God's time, and I'm really just the manager, and he's the CEO of what we're trying to do.
Wow, as you're describing what you do, it's like, for you, it sounds like, business is just the instrument. It's not the goal. It's just the instrument that God's used. And I like what you said, that it's time for small business to be the church. Can you just, I know that you said that, to kind of lead the way in giving, but expand upon that a little bit. What do you mean that to be the church, and how's that different than the church?
Sure. I don't know that it's different than the church. We've modeled this idea of church as the mega church with the celebrity life coach and all the great programs. And that's why we got to go to them, because our kids need all these great programs. And again, I go to one and I get it. But really, the design of the church was to, two or more. They were all small groups. They met people where they were. They solved problems. They were hands and feet. And so what I would challenge you, people that are listening today, is rise up. You can do something. Stop waiting on your church. Your church takes about 95% of everything you give and builds more buildings with it and pays HVAC and pays more staff and again, I'm not against any of that, but what I'm telling you is you've got to shift your mind. Like, there's people who don't have water. There's people who don't have food. There's people who've never once heard the saving grace of Jesus Christ. There's 650 abortion clinics that don't have sidewalk counselors there speaking life when people are showing up in complete desperation. There's third world countries that just don't even have a chance. And people in the inner cities that again, don't know that they could be more than what they were born in. And I believe that's, it's up to us. It's up to us to ask the Holy Spirit for wisdom and discernment on how to be a part of the solution on how to, you know, get involved and get other like-minded businesses to put together some money. We took 10 guys to start a thing called the Last Well and really accelerate it, and took water wells, about 11,000 projects, about $31 million total, and solved an entire country, Liberia, Africa's water crisis. Took them water, and in the process shared the gospel with everybody we served. That all started with 10 business owners that said, I'll do that for 5 to 10 years. I'll yeah. sow into that. I'll get involved. And again, I believe God is giving men and women ideas all the time, but they get paralyzed by the process, or I don't have money, or I don't know how to do it. And I would just challenge you to say yes, start walking it out, and God will begin to then give provision and ideas and strategy on how to solve it.
Yeah. That's such good information, Heath. And I know there's a ton of stories, and maybe we can have you come back on, tell some more stories. But if somebody's listening, they're discouraged, their business is faltering, they've been through COVID, they're losing people, or they shut the doors, or trying to open, or they love the Lord, and they're just like, I don't know what to do. I want a vision. I mean, the vision comes from the Lord, but what advice would you have for someone who comes to you and we're just struggling, man. We don't know what to do. What should we do with our business? What would you, I mean, you kind of gave some ideas about not cussing and doing things, but what would you say, you know, what do I do? Where do I go?
So I'd tell you two things. One is, I've never met anyone that started chasing after God that didn't find him. Never one time. And if you say, well, I haven't found him, or I haven't had an experience or an encounter, then I would tell you, you haven't chased him long enough then. I've never, ever, ever met somebody that went looking for God, and he talks about it in the scriptures over and over, that didn't find him. So I want to encourage you there. Then I would tell you this. I don't know where you are on your journey, but I have this thing we kind of wrote out, and you figure out where you are here, and I will help tell you the next phase, and you follow these phases, and you will encounter the living God in a way that you can't even get your mind around. So blind faith turns to faith that then turns to obedience. And then that obedience will turn to experiences. Those experiences will give you proof. And then that will begin to turn into encounters that then leads to intimacy with the King of Kings, where your heart's desires merge with his, and you no longer know whose desires are who. Yeah. And honestly, if you can kind of get your mind around that journey, you'll figure out where you are and begin to ask God, petition God, cry out to God for that next step or that next phase. Because I'll tell you, the coolest part of all this is really not knowing if it's God's desires or yours, because they're so intertwined, but it all lines up with scripture. At the end of the day, all our giving of our time, our talent, and our treasure all lines up with his word. And if you're doing that, God will course correct. I have made mistakes in my giving and with my time, and God always recorrects it. But I will tell you, I'll take somebody obedient, because God counts that, he says, greater than sacrifice. So when I feel something in my spirit, I do it. I move in it, no matter how ridiculous it seems to the outside world, because automatically I'm going to get credit for that obedience. Right or wrong, if I missed it or not, if my heart is pure, I believe I heard from God and I'm moving it, God is going to credit me with obedience. And I believe he will put people in your path to help course correct any of that. So I put obedience above all things.
And, you know, and what you said, yeah, it is biblical. You know, Paul says he gives that we have the mind of Christ, right? That, so there are ideas, you know, as we're following him, as we're, you know, obedient and not engaging in sin, that that we have the mind of Christ. And so, and he gives us those ideas. He gives us, you know, freshness. He gives us, you know, ways to walk. And it's just a, that's just such a good word, Heath. Any, as we're just kind of getting ready to close here, any kind of, you know, final words that's in your heart that, that you just like to express our listeners? Maybe they're business owners, maybe they're homemakers, maybe they're, you know, maybe they're an employee, maybe they're students. I mean, what would any final words that you would have?
Yeah, I would challenge you to, hey, cry out to God and ask him what you need to clean up. I had to get rid of a lot of habitual sin before I could ever enter into an intimate relationship with the Trinity. So I would challenge you. He will give you the steps to get rid of whatever that habitual sin is. Once you get rid of that, then you can begin to fellowship and create an intimacy and start to experience some of these things that we've talked about today.
That, Heath, that is just so much wisdom in those words. Oftentimes we want the results, but we're not willing to put in the work. Sometimes we want magic, not sanctification. And so, yeah, I mean, that's just such a good word. Well, Heath, thanks so much for coming on, and just been such a joy to hear your little bit more of your story. And just, I know that our audience is going to be encouraged. So what's on the horizon for you? What's next for Heath?
That's a great question. You know, right now we're entering into a new kind of giving model. And so we're looking for groups that could use, you know, six figures of operational capital, and then use some of the technology we used in Liberia, Africa. So we're qualifying. We're working with Love Life, this group that's trying to put sidewalk counselors in every abortion clinic to spread hope and the love of Jesus. We're working with another group, the Kendricks Brothers, that do a bunch of the Christian films about their fatherhood commission, and seeing if we could go in and pour some rocket fuel on what they're trying to do and end, you know, fatherlessness by providing a mentor with all these young boys and girls that don't have a father. So we're just asking the Spirit to lead us on, you know, how do we leverage time, talent, treasure, and sow into some of these ministries that need to get kind of kick-started to really do the most good while we're here on earth.
That's awesome, Heath. And if somebody wanted to get more information about what it is you guys are doing, where would they go to get that?
Our website is lime-media.com. Most of our clients are, you know, top 100, top 500 Fortune type companies. You know, we like to say we bring imagination to life by customizing vehicles and other cool stuff to create marketing experiences all over the country. So we really work with a lot of the big brands. But honestly, I would challenge you guys to ask God and the Spirit for mentors. That was another big aha, that God put some mentors in my life that began to give me vision. So vision can come from God, but it can also come through, you know, people who've already been there and done that. So begin to ask God who you can get around that can begin to speak some life and truth into you from a business point of view as well.
Yeah, such good words, Heath. Heath, thanks so much for coming on Fully Express. I'm humbled that you would take the time, and just really pray that some folks out there would hear this, that they would take it to heart, make some changes, and to God be the glory.
Thanks, Sean.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast, Fully Express with John Dembeck. If you'd like to receive John's weekly devotional, go to seeds2life.org. That's seeds2life.org.